Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
I'm Alex Boyer. Last night was a long time coming for many soccer fans in St. Louis, the debut of City Park. And here's what it sounded like at first outside the stadium.
Yeah, I just brought my nephew up here. Wanted him to see the whole event. You know, first game here. It's awesome, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the St. Boogie Ho Brass Band. And we are here for your entertainment pleasures.
I love women's soccer, especially in the U.S. We have great teams and great sport. So it's nice to see a men's team. Or who knows, maybe we'll expand to a women's team someday in St. Louis.
These are our season tickets, so we know what to experience in the next 17 games when we're down here, so it's crazy.
My job's a capo for the drum corps, so I lead the people in the chants. I let them know when we're switching chants, going into a different one. If we're hitting a low spot, we need to, you know, pick up the beat, get the driving chants going. If we're up 3-4 goals, we're just having a good time, having a party here. So it's just feeling the game, feeling the flow, that kind of thing.
That's what it was like last night in St. Louis for the debut of City Park, the roughly $460 million stadium that come February will host Major League Soccer's latest expansion team, St. Louis City SC. Joining me now to talk about this and last night are just two of the St. Louis Public Radio journalists who were there. Jeremy Goodwin is our senior arts and culture reporter. Welcome, Jeremy.
Good morning, Alex.
And Wayne Pratt is our senior correspondent and morning newscaster and sometimes sports director. Hi, Wayne.
Good to see you, Alex.
Jeremy, I want to start with you. First of all, thank you for collecting the sounds. I really felt like I was there.
Yeah, and it was a late night, thus my inappropriate good morning greeting to you.
But I will forgive it.
Yeah, but yeah, it was a wild scene. The St. Louisans fan club started tailgating at the Schlafly's Tap Room around 4 p.m. Before game time. Meanwhile, there's a Boogie Brass Band. There was a German cultural demonstration, some German dance happening outside the stadium. People starting to line up. Dogs leaping. There was some kind of pet competition where you could have your dog leap and catch a frisbee.
Dogs leaping makes sense because the main sponsor of St. Louis City SC is Purina.
There you go. So they were well fed. They looked well fed to me.
Excellent. Last night's match was not the top tier MLS team that will play here in St. Louis. It was an exhibition match between St. Louis City 2, that's the development team here, and between German team Bayer Leverkusen. Jeremy, do you think it not being the top tier St. Louis team hampered the excitement at all?
Not at all. I don't think people were there to see the final result. They were there to celebrate. Regardless of the goals scored on either side, this was the end of a long process for soccer boosters in the city who have been trying to make this stadium happen for at least over a decade. So the people who were there that I talked to were just happy it was happening. They were trying out the bells and whistles, seeing if things worked, pushing buttons, and getting used to the new stadium.
Wayne, you have covered many facets of this MLS team coming to St. Louis, but last night you were not there for work. You were there with your family as a fan. What was the fan experience like from your vantage point?
It was a rather brisk evening.
It was cold. Nice. I wanted to bring that up. It was windy and it was cold.
We sat in section 203, row 17, which is about five rows from the top.
Okay.
And I'm curious as to whether the wind was as brisk down on the field, because that's lower than street level, as it was where we were, because it was blowing around up there all night. It was really cold. That's the thing that stands out, was the weather. The other thing was the parking. We got there a little late, and it was really tough to find a spot, but eventually we found one. But we were there for the experience. We were there to see what it would be like to actually see a game played in that stadium. And if you take out those other two factors, it was pretty cool. It was a fun
literally
evening.
Cool.
Yeah, that too. It was a fun evening. The sight lines were great. The people were nice. It was easy to move around once you got into the stadium, which are all key elements to me when I go to a sporting venue.
Mm-hmm. And Jeremy, do you have a sense of whether it was cool? Because you were probably closer to the field.
Oh, the weather?
Mm-hmm.
I was moving around. I thought it was a little less severe than Wayne experienced way up in the top there. Mm-hmm. So I think there were a lot of – I'm not sure about the environmental responsibility of this. I'll look into it. Maybe there's offsets. But there were lots of space heaters around.
Okay.
And as Wayne mentions, it does go below street level. So the by the middle – you know, as you got deeper into the facility, it wasn't quite as arctic as it was for some fans, and outside it certainly was.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the Major League Soccer season starts in February. Is that right?
It will start in February. I don't think the full schedule is out yet. Mm-hmm. I have not seen it, so City SC's first game might be early March.
But the point of being prepared for cold weather and having space heaters, it's good to see and hear that there were some things there that could help fans warm up.
There was none around section 203, I'll tell you that.
And most of the press box was outdoors also.
Okay.
So part of the experience, I think, is a little bit like American football, where it's a winter sport and you have to dress appropriately and mm-hmm. know what you're getting into.
Last night was certainly a test run for concession stands and other amenities. And I think there are bumps to be expected. The team has brought on James Beard, award-winning chef Gerard Kraft. I think his official title is something like flavor officer. Did you try any of those amenities, Wayne?
I didn't have a chance to. Where we were on the top level, it was the traditional ballpark food, the chicken tenders, the burgers, the hot dogs. Most of the stuff you're talking about was in the level below us. Mm-hmm. I was on the media tour of the stadium.
So it's a two-level stadium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was on the media tour earlier this week, and they were showing all of those spots. Steve's Hot Dogs was in there. Bulk and Treat Box was in there. Those were a couple of others. So there's a whole bunch of options for local food. And the whole theme behind this, they were saying, is STL made. They really wanted to carry that theme coming through, that this is a St. Louis production and a St. Louis partnership. So they want to boost some St. Louis businesses.
There was a game that was previously scheduled to take place at City Park, but that had to be moved to SIUE across the river because the stadium in St. Louis was having electrical problems. Obviously, those issues were resolved enough to host a game there. But were there any signs of residual impacts of the electrical problems that either of you could tell?
I did not see anything. I didn't notice anything on the tour. Of course, the tour was guided, so they weren't going to show us if there was a problem or not. Other people I have talked to tell me everything has been fixed. That was, what I think, a two-month delay from when they were going to have that first game to last night. So they had a lot of time to get it fixed. But those rains we had back in July really impacted that, leading to some power problems and stuff. So they had a lot of stuff to work out. And the fact that they got it on last night, considering the problems they had, is pretty impressive.
Yeah, overall, I would say it was an impressive event. It was run well. There were some nooks and crannies where you could see they were still getting up to speed. There was a staff elevator, which I was using to go up and down to the press area, and that worked sometimes, and sometimes it didn't. Mm-hmm. So some people were looking for stairwells. I think they might want to look into adding some more signage to help people find their way around, because everyone was doing it for the first time. But for a first-time event, and the food service, I was impressed with how it went, and the food service had a system I hadn't seen before. It was touch-free, and it was you provided either a prepaid card or your credit card or something at the beginning, and then just went and pulled what you wanted, and there was some kind of a scan on the way out, so you didn't end up having to sort of get those all paid individually. It was looked like an easier user experience.
That was one of the things they highlighted on the media tour, Jeremy. They have a bunch of sensors on the ceiling and some cameras that are keeping track of everybody that comes in there. I don't know all the science behind it, neither did the tour guides, but they tell me that this is the first stadium in North America to open with this technology.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There, other stadiums are experimenting with this technology, but they did not open with it. So that's one of the things the stadium is at the forefront.
And I don't eat a lot of stadium food usually, but people walking by with pulled pork nachos, some kind of fancy ice cream. There was steam coming out of where I didn't quite understand what was going into this fancy ice cream, but the food looked good, and it's better than I've seen at most of the places I go to see sports.
Excellent. We heard a little bit from the St. Luligans in that audio that you gave us, Jeremy. Soccer fans are known for their passion. And I watched a little bit of last night on TV, and you see flags waving. And that's a separate section of the stadium where people stand during the game.
Yeah, there's a custom in European soccer stadiums where they reserve space for the visiting team supporters so they can all sit together, and sometimes the home as well. So in this case, there is a section that's flagged off for the St. Luligans to be able to to be able to sit there, and they're the engine of the crowd experience,
of the chants.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd be interested to hear Wayne's perspective from his seating, but the drumming, the cheering. Was all starting in this one section and sort of spreading out from there. Mm-hmm.
It was pretty loud at the beginning, up when we were sitting, and then, as to be expected in a game, especially when you fall behind, when you're the home team, the volume started to decline. It would go in fits and spurts after that. Wasn't as many flags in that section as I was anticipating mm-hmm. last night. I think mm-hmm. I counted maybe four. When you see European games, as you know, Jeremy, mm-hmm. they're all over the place. So I was kind of mm-hmm. expecting that. Maybe there'll be more of those when the MLS season gets underway. And maybe the weather last night contributed to that as well. But the neat thing that they did was walking over from the Schlafly Tap Room to mm-hmm. do a march and then come in to, I believe it's the north end of the stadium, which is blocked off as the supporters group stands. And mm-hmm. that was kind of cool.
Yes or no, Wayne? The score was Bayer Leverkusen 3, St. Louis City 2, nil. Did that come as a surprise?
No surprise.
Because it's a good German team.
In the top flight of the German league right mm-hmm. now, yeah.
But it doesn't sound like that score hampered the excitement for the debut of City Park at all. Jeremy Goodwin and Wayne Pratt of St. Louis Public Radio, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Our podcast proudly supports St. Louis artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.